Yeah, well, the Co-op de Masque is a factory that was set up by just local people in Gangol. And the reason why the factory got set up was because in 2018, near to Gangol, just on the outskirts of Saint-Brieuc, another factory shut down, and it was a factory that made surgical masks. And that factory got shut down in 2018 essentially because it was owned by a big multinational company called Honeywell, and Honeywell decided that they could produce masks more cheaply abroad. So they offshored it and shut down the factory. And everyone got fired. Classic story. And so no more masks. And then fast forward 2 years and we're in the middle of the pandemic and there's a global shortage of masks. When I was sitting at home watching the TV, it was during the first lockdown when we were all at home. And I just saw this story. It was talking about this plan to reopen a mask factory. And the idea was to reopen a mask factory as a cooperative so that it would be owned by the workers in the factory plus different people who got involved, with the idea behind all of that that it wouldn't be possible to offshore it again. So that there'd be a vital supply of protective equipment for our doctors and nurses who at the point when they opened the factory, people were actually dying because they didn't have appropriate face masks. So this immediately interested me. And what particularly interested me about this factory and why I decided to follow this particular story was because they decided to try and do things a little bit differently. And they were saying, you know, we've got to think about how we live in the world once the pandemic's over, if it ever ends, let's hope it does. And they said, well, rather than setting up a factory in the classic way, where you'll get a big investor who'll put in money and then will sell shares in the company to shareholders, which means the company's immediately obliged to make maximum profits, but it is at risk of being moved offshore where labour costs are lower and taxes are lower and all that sort of thing. They said, we wanted to do this differently, which is why they decided to set it up as a cooperative. What I wanted to look at with this particular company, beyond the fact that they were doing something that I just thought was an amazing thing to do at that time, which is really to try and do what they could to help at a time when, you know, a lot of us were sitting at home just saying, well, what can we do? What can we do? They'd actually, you know, they'd actually got up off their butts and decided to do something. And I found that incredibly inspiring. And I was very proud that they let me follow them while they were doing that. The other thing that interested me as a filmmaker was that I had a story here that was happening at a very local level, but that was talking about something that was happening around the world. I always prefer, when I'm trying to make a film, to try and tell a story that's as near to people's everyday lives as possible. It wasn't abstract at all, but it was actually talking about something much bigger than the mask factories. So the first time I met them, they had nothing except the dream and the idea. And then I followed them all the way through for a year until they got to the point where they actually had opened the factory with French-built machines. All of the raw materials that they used to make the masks were either from France or other countries in Europe. They'd hired people. They set it up as a social enterprise as well. So they had 30% of the workforce who had some kind of recognized disability. And they'd done all of this and started producing. And they managed to do all of this in the middle of a pandemic. It was incredible for me to be able to be involved with something that was energized by so much hope at a time when things were pretty grim.
The other thing that's rather unusual is the financing. You just mentioned it was it's a cooperative. The money raised is from people who want to be involved in it. I mean, they're not just ordinary shareholders.
This cooperative, you can buy, I guess the nearest thing I could find was the definition was what they called a membership share in the cooperative. And what that means is you can buy a share in the cooperative, but it's not an investment. So if a share in the Co-op de Masque costs 50 euros, and you can buy one or two or 10 or 100, as many as you want. But what you won't do is get a return on investment on them.
So it's like a gift then?
Yeah, or you could sell them back for the same price, but it's not an investment. So part of the funding came in that way. And then they also had money coming in from the city government in Gangon, the Côte d'Armor government, the Brittany regional government invested. Then they had investments from companies who will buy their masks and use them. So that's a lot of hospital groups, mutuels, so health insurance groups, and other big companies that use a surgical mask. For example, in Brittany, there's a lot of companies that work in the food processing industry that use masks, or the building industry.
Do they sell their masks to the general public?
They do a bit, but the business model is mainly aimed at big business partners. the reasoning they had when they set the factory up was that they needed to work with customers who would always be there, and that the market for private individuals who buy masks will, we hope, over time reduce, so we don't have to wear masks in public anymore. But there was a big issue, obviously, and that was one of the things that you can see in the film, is that they quickly came up against the question of the citizens who'd invested in the company wanted to buy the masks, which is understandable, and they actually realised that they didn't have a business model that allowed them to sell them because of the logistics, basically. It would cost more to post a box of masks, one single box of masks to an individual, than the box of masks cost. So they had quite a lot of...
Yeah, they had to change their ideas.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there was quite a lot of internal hoo-ha about how they're going to work that one out. Well, I mean, what was interesting for me with that particular discussion that they had, which at times was a discussion that got quite heated, was because they're a cooperative, they had to work that one out together. And it wasn't just the boss who'd say, right, well, I'm sorry, but we're doing it this way, end of discussion. That was one of the interesting things about the way they decided to run the company, is that they obliged themselves to make decisions collectively rather than vertically, which is what would happen in a normal company. And they succeeded. And that was really what I wanted to look at in the film, beyond the question of the mask, was, is this a way that we can think about organising companies in the future that's interesting, that could work? And I think they proved from their side that it is. The problem they've got is that their model only works if the customers buy their masks and are prepared to pay a little bit more, which is why the film is called For 2 centimes More, for masks that are produced by a cooperative in a more socially responsible way, locally, so that we don't have this risk of shortages, which led to people dying, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic because there weren't enough masks. Again, you see in the film, is that they were saying, well, we did all of this because, you know, we were told that this is what we need to do. But then when they start trying to sell their masks, all of the public services that they're working with are still saying, yeah, but the most important thing for us is the price. It comes down just to the price, and all of the rest of the other criteria, it's all very nice, it's all very lovely, but it's just about the bottom line. So they are up against hospital groups and ministries and whatever who are still buying their masks in China because they're 2 centimes cheaper.
So your film was completed in the summer of 2021.
Yeah.
And what's been going on since then?
As always happens with these things, the minute you stop filming, it's like when you interview somebody, the minute you turn the thing off, they say the most interesting stuff. So I start filming in June, but what happened while we were editing the film, so that was in September, October, was that the factory found that a lot of the people who promised to buy masks from them went back on their promises and didn't follow through. So they found themselves with a warehouse full of about €1 million worth of unsold masks, which brought them at one point to within a week, 10 days of going under. I mean, it was that bad. They managed to start selling again, and they're now doing okay. I mean, it's always going to be a touch and go. And my take on the whole thing was, if we honestly want to think about organising our lives and our economies in a different way, perhaps sometimes, yeah, we need to be prepared to put a little bit more effort in, a little bit more investment in. Sometimes it's financial investment like 2 centimes, sometimes it's something else. Or perhaps we need to give up a little bit, but we need to be clear about the choices we want. If we want to live in societies where we're a bit less dependent on these big global trade flows that don't seem to be under anybody's control anymore, we have to give ourselves the means of doing that. And sometimes that might mean, yes, things cost a little bit more.
Your film was shown on French regional television.
Regional, yeah.
Once in...
So far.
Well, so far in, yeah. What, November, I think it was?
It was shown, yeah, in November, yeah.
Any chance of it being shown in cinemas around Brittany?
I'd very much like that to happen. We're always open for organising screenings wherever people want. There's a website that we set up now called 2 centimes de plus, where you can send us a message and ask us to organise a screening. The one thing we are planning to do for the people who work in the factory is to organise a screening there. I mean, I'll let you know once I've got a bit more info on that.
Good.
And yeah, and then we'd like to take it around and get it seen as much as possible. So,
well, maybe we can get to organise a showing here in Gwarwick.
I'd love to. Yeah, it was always but nice anyway. To come back here.
Well, Simon Cross, thanks ever so much for telling us about that.
That's all right.
Good luck with your future plans.
All right, thanks a lot.